Every Australian household has something called a toilet spider. So normally toilet spiders are huntsmen's. This is mine. His name's Gary. Despite how scary they look, huntsmen's aren't poisonous, so they aren't dangerous at all. But this little guy, he keeps the more dangerous spiders away from my loo. You know, like funnel webs, white tails, red backs. So thanks, Gary. Thanks for your service.
Okay, we are back. Peoples.
Love is in the air.
Welcome, can feel it all welcome, around. Welcome. How y'all doing?
I'm great. I'm snowed in the house. You know, it feels like negative 11, but we're out here.
Yikes. I heard like this was happening in, I think it was Texas.
Dallas.
Yeah.
In Dallas. Yeah.
Well, they're getting snow, but they're also getting, I think they got ice first. And like Oklahoma got a bunch of ice, like a bunch of.
Tennessee got a bunch of ice.
Yeah. And we got ice like last week, but not that bad of ice. And also like where I'm at now, they don't have the infrastructure like Chicago does, but like they have a little bit more than like Texas. My friend who lives in Dallas is like, yeah, the city of Dallas has like 20 like snow plows total, which is
like
not
20 bags of ice total.
That's like not sufficient for a city like Dallas. So shout out to them. They're going through it.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not power used outages. To it. It's not like Boston or New York. So.
No, like right, like they have money dedicated to it.
Like, at that time, Atlanta was like, "Yo, what?" They had $0 in their snow response budget.
Yeah.
Like, hey, yo, let me hold 10 real quick to go get a couple bags of salt and some chains for this bus.
And people love to be like, "Oh, people in the South are rams." It's like, no, they literally don't have the resources. Like,
no, because again, it happens so rarely. They just they're like, "Why would we allocate money to this?"
Yeah,
it would be silly to like stock up on salt every year and not use it. Like
that's like Boston. They're saying, not in the wrong. We're going to stock up on winter tourism. Put money into winter tourism. No one's coming here silly. In the winter, you idiots.
Right.
So,
So well, stay warm, y'all.
Me, you know me. I'm high off that black love. You know how it is. Valentine's Day.
How did you spend your Valentine's Day?
Well, let me tell you.
What'd you do for your queen?
I took her out to a concert in Australia.
On your PJ?
20-hour flights.
No. It was definitely Spirit, but we went to Australia.
Okay, surely Spirit doesn't go to Australia, right?
Spirit doesn't frequent.
I don't fly Spirit, so
it took mad stops along the way. I was like, yo, this is the longest trip ever. But they don't have COVID, so I was like, it's worth it. So we went out there, you know, Aussie, oi, 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 partied up with them. Stop. And then, you know, we came back. So, that's what we did.
Got it.
How about you, Sankara? What you do for your queen?
Well, we didn't go to Australia.
Broke boys. Hide your money, y'all. There's poor people around.
Stop.
I'm so sick of him, bro.
Is that what Rob says when I walk in the room?
Yes, in his head.
Wow, now I know.
Especially because he got a house now. He just looks at us different.
I know. He's like, oh, I built a house. Oh, hey, like, y'all. I don't know about y'all. He's like,
y'all renting?
Ew. You have neighbors?
So for my mortgage, I mean.
Share walls? Couldn't be me.
I knew this would be you one day. I knew this is the twin.
Your upstairs neighbors? You mean your kids upstairs? Your family upstairs? Oh, different people upstairs? Ooh.
No, we stayed at our apartment. We decided to, you know, because, you know, there's still a pandemic. So.
Right. Respecting others. Love that.
Although I will say. We did leave to like go like run some errands. I think it was Saturday because I had to like wash my car and stuff. And then I literally like drove by downtown Culver. The place was a buzz, I tell you.
People don't care. Like people legit.
Buzzing.
Again, we always say this too. Like people don't care, but also like the people who could stop this don't care. So.
Yeah,
I can only get so mad at the people, like if they're going to a restaurant that's open.
Oh, I can get mad.
But you can't get mad. That's like saying, like, why would you go? But then, like, why is it open? Touché.
It's so funny.
I mean, I can be mad at two people at once.
Oh, no. True. There is duality to it.
it is pretty funny to see how like the restaurants are getting like hella creative, because like when I was driving, they like basically took over a side of the street to build outdoor dining that looks indoor but outside.
Is it covered? Yeah, it's a bubble, it so doors? You can just have your germs just going in circles.
Oh, it's vibes. So, you know the vibes.
No, like in New York, they said, "Oh, it's outdoor dining, but it's indoors. It's like correct a literal greenhouse."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, it's like a little tent situation.
Yeah, no, there's like hard structured walls. Not walls, but like, you know, those glass, like plexiglass walls.
No, like, it's like really a lot.
That's just an extension. That's a sunroom, my
it's
guy.
I like going out to eat. I don't like it that much. Like, it is not worth all of that. I truly can't wait.
I mean, well, see, I like similar to what Rob is saying, I totally understand from the restaurant side. It's like they got to survive somehow.
Oh, yeah.
And they, those I don't restaurants blame are probably them. Not getting any support. So they're like, well, we gonna get it how we can get it.
They're not. Well, yeah, you see how many checks we get? They're not getting extra checks. Like, they got checks. Like, there was a relief plan, and now there's a relief plan that hasn't come yet.
Because Tom Brady took
like, they don't get what we get. Literally. And so I understand the restaurants, because it's like, y'all are trying to survive, and you're not getting any assistance. But I just cannot. Like, it's just like,
no, it's wild. So it's wild in these streets. It's hella wild.
Well, in Australia, it's not like that. So, just so you know, in case you're curious, what's thanks it like the out update. There? It's, you know,
on your
in the outback, having fun.
Right. I got to Australia though.
I'd rather never go to Australia than take the spirit to Australia.
Like, that's a fact.
So you want to be stuck in COVID
forever?
Or maybe
I'd rather never go to Australia than take spirit literally anywhere, and I mean that.
Also, I don't really think I ever want to go to Australia, because from what I've seen, like a bunch of like on these documentaries or, you know, Nat Geo shows,
look at you.
Everything there.
Look at you letting the propaganda get to you, and you be talking about me and Russia. Look
Sam,
at
you.
No,
it's not.
My
it's
friend
not
studied abroad there, and she loves it. But I'm like, but she said that she listens to the podcast. So shout out to Brooke. She said that literally you could look up at like the like power lines, and like you could see the spiders up there. And I'm like, if you can see it from that far away,
fam,
I want no part of it.
5 miles
like,
above
are
the ground.
You kidding
I'm
me?
Trying to be Spider-Man. Like, what you mean?
No.
Okay, well then go right ahead.
That will be a man spider now. It will eat you and take on your form.
Literally eat you.
I'm a human now. So
like,
I'm a real boy, so that's what's gonna happen.
No. I hate it. You
remember the Spider-Man cartoon, that time when like Spider-Man grew like 8 arms,
yes,
and things like that?
Yeah, that
yes,
would
that's
be
gonna
how,
happen
yeah,
to
exactly,
that spider.
Exactly.
And you'll be dead.
It does look crazy out there with the animals.
Put on your clothes.
But I've heard it's really great.
Yeah, but like outside the spiders and the snakes that'll kill you, like
scorpion.
Yes, if you're caught slipping, the kangaroo
kicking you down.
I've been to Outback Steakhouse. Does this mean I've been to Australia?
I do stand a good blooming onion, not gonna lie.
I do stand there pumping up a loaf. Love me a good pumpy
head
loaf.
Shout out Pumpernickel. That sounds so good right now.
Yeah. We're stupid. All right, What do we talk about? Y'all got me talking about nothing.
We're just going on about Australian culture.
Well, okay, so
which none of us have been. We have no knowledge.
The Australian Oscars were last week. What'd you guys think about it?
Didn't watch that. So next.
I'm speechless.
Yep.
Let me just say.
Yep.
Kangaroo Jack swept with Best Picture again for the third year in a row.
Stop. All right, to any Australian listeners.
What's an Australian picture?
What?
None. They all just come over here and steal the white man's jobs.
I can't.
I see kind of like the Brits are doing to the blacks.
Hello. We're going to talk about it. No, because I actually did hear someone complain about the white Aussies coming over here and stealing their jobs. It's like, wait, time out? And then I looked at it, I was like, They got a voice.
Can't ever say that the white people don't have their own struggles that they're fighting.
That's what y'all get. Like, y'all should have colonized them instead. They didn't colonize them. They just threw all their slaves there and
I was gonna say, just the Aboriginal people, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But no, because I think, like, what? The Hemsworthy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That one guy from Stranger Things is Australian, too. The guy that goes evil or whatever? The blonde guy?
Oh, yeah.
He's Australian.
Isn't Christian Bale Australian, or is he? Oh, he's like Welsh.
I never remember.
Yeah, no,
he's Welsh.
Think,
no,
yeah.
Hugh Jackman is Australian.
Okay, All right.
Isn't Keith Urban?
We don't. Is this a music podcast? What is happening?
No, but he's hanging out with Nicole Kidman at an award show, so you should know who that man is.
What is that? I definitely know who he is.
That's what I'm saying, I know, Rob.
Who Keith Urban is.
Also, didn't whatever. Know he
was I'm just naming Australians. So. He's also a country singer, so he is taking white Americans' jobs.
Mm. Yup. Look at that struggle. Look at that struggle. WLM. Look at that white struggle. Plight.
Stop. I'm not saying that. Nope, I will not. I'm deleting
nope,
that.
Sankar, nope, save that. That's going to put on Sankara's page. I'm going to post it on this page. I'm going to say Blue Lives Matter Sankara said.
All the crazy shit I say.
The thing is, I don't clip out anything. Whatever Christine sends me, I just add the intro music and post it. I don't even know what's in there.
So it's Christine that's got me out here. And these
I got to make an exciting podcast. What can I say?
Look at us going viral. Ugh.
Anyway.
All right, content. Talk about it. All right, so yeah, enough
what
with
did,
the...
What did we watch?
I watched WandaVision.
Oh, did do that. I'm learning that I don't have nearly, like, I'm loving the show, but when y'all talk about it and all your theories about who's coming next, I legitimately have no idea what you're talking about. And I feel like I'm watching a different show. So I need to, like, do my Marvel, like, history research or something.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what y'all are talking about.
I will say, to that point, I feel like they do a really good job of not making it incredibly dense. We're the ones, yeah, as viewers that, like, you know, like, start a Reddit thread and then, like, go down all these crazy theories. But, like, they, yes, do a really good job of not convoluting, like, oh, like, you should know who this is. We're not going to explain this to you. So, like, I do like that for, like, the average moviegoer or TV watcher. Like, they don't necessarily have to be deep in their comic bag to understand
But
exactly
also, like, the
happening.
One thing they also do, and I think with the Guardians of the Galaxy is a good example, they make their more obscure characters like, oh, you should know this person. So, like they don't go, like, and they don't, like, make it, like, really deep, but they, like, they make them seem more, like...
As long as you explain it on the screen so people that, yeah, are watching it can get it. That it's not, yeah, a thing where, like, I have to go study to then understand what's happening on the screen.
Oh, why this person... Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, I say, but they're, like... Listen, like, this, though, the Guardians will make them this big thing, and, like, hey, this is who they are, this is what they do, and, like, they're fun, and they're all this stuff, too. And,
yeah,
like, they,
yeah,
really,
yeah,
kind of make a show out of, like, who these people are. So, yeah, they make it enjoyable. And I think some of the people that I, like, I have to go back and remember because, like, yeah, I remember them, or I've heard, you know, I know what they are, but, like, what exactly do they do? So, like, I had to go back and read up on Monica Rambeau. Like, I had to go back and, you know, do my due diligence on her. But then, because the theories I've been having, I had to do some digging too. To,
yeah,
see, because I think, yeah, the reason was, like,
that's sort of where my point is. It's like there's a duality of, like, if you want to do that, it's still very much available for you to do.
Yeah.
If you just want to watch the show and enjoy it for what it is, that's also very feasible too. Because at the end, though,
yeah,
obviously it'll come to a conclusion and, like, they'll explain to you exactly what was happening.
Everything that you've seen, yeah.
Right. I think I could have never seen a Marvel movie and watched this show and appreciated it maybe in a different way, but, like, still. Like, they, like, yeah.
I agree.
Like, I think there's a depth to it that I'm not seeing, but, like, without that depth, it's still
enjoyable,
interesting, and complex.
Exactly.
And, like, I want to see the next episode. I don't feel lost in the moment, you know?
Right.
So, agreed. Loving it. Still loving it. I stand WandaVision. I can't believe I like that show. I did not. I was like, this does not look like it's up my alley. Whatever. Like,
it really
isn't.
So, I am very surprised.
But it's good.
Well, and
it's,
I think,
entertaining,
you talk about it,
man,
too. Yeah, it's very. Yeah. It's very. But again, I think she's seen the previous ones, too. So, she has, like, so, even though she doesn't, like, have, like, the, she said, like, the depth knowledge of knowing, like, oh, he's from Earth 616, and, like, oh,
yeah,
that's the,
I'm none of
this,
that,
this comic book episode, that, but, like, she understands the Marvel Cinematic Universe enough to know, like, this is tied to something, and, like, oh, like, again, like you said, that they'll explain everything to me
mm-hmm.
when the time comes.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like what I like about this and what I'm excited about for the future Marvel shows is that I feel like it's a really fresh take on, like, Marvel's universe. Like, it does, like, I don't know, like, this kind of show, like, there's not, I can't think of a show, I'm like, oh yeah, the other show that goes through different timelines and universes and sitcom,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, there's not a show
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate, like, seeing it all in a new light, and it just feels really fresh, I guess.
Agreed. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's going to open up a whole new can of worms for them.
Mm-hmm.
Just in terms of, like, like, they're going to do this show thing with these superheroes, and they're legit going to be able to do whatever they want, go whatever direction they want, if they want to. I mean, they have an endless pit of money, so they can really do whatever the hell they want.
Truly, they're just having fun.
No, and I heard on their quarterly earnings call that they that their streaming platform has already eclipsed like 94 million subscribers.
So to that point, I saw this thing today. I saw a tweet or it was an article.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
It was an article that had said that, like, something about Disney having, like, the strongest streaming growth. And by, like, 2026, they'll have, like, eclipsed Netflix in subscribers. And in the comments, people were basically saying, like, you own, like, 60% of content. So, like, really all you had to do was just, like, recut it and then like build a platform and put it on there, right? So like there is a thing of like starting with, it's like when Trump goes like, I had a small loan of $1 million to like get to where I am. It's like you're starting with a lot and so you already have that leg up, so like it's almost expected that you would do that.
If you didn't, it would be kind of embarrassing.
Is why it was embarrassing when they first started, and it was stale for however long it was stale for.
But also, like, that's always been the game. It's like the people say, oh, they have all this money. Yeah, that's what happens with all that. Like, that's just the way the world works. Like, no matter what, like, Netflix was this quote-unquote startup thing, and, like, they built this. They took 15 years to get there, and they're just like, oh, that's all you got to do? All right, we're going to sink $1 billion to this and get there real quick. And that's literally the game. That's literally what everyone does. And exactly. That's how the world works. I'm not like, oh, how dare Disney? That's what everyone does.
No, like it's obviously like streaming is a thing now. So like you're obviously going to have a leg up. You have most of the content around the landscape. And so like if you don't find a way to get to that, then like that's a loss to you. Right? Like, you didn't accomplish what you should have accomplished because you literally own everything. You own people's voices, for crying out loud.
You literally own people's voices.
Right.
And
yeah, I'm not mad at Disney. I'm just not, like, impressed, if that makes sense.
I can... I'm not going to say I'm impressed. No. I'm not even on that because, like, when we talked about it last week, this is our streaming segment, but, like... NBC Universal, they own a lot of things too. Not as much as Disney, but they own a lot of things too. Like most of these other companies own a lot of things, but like, will they do the same thing with it? So like,
but I think
I don't think most of the other industries have a bottomless pit of money to then.
I don't think like, it's even. I mean, it is. It's the money and it's owning a lot of things. But it's like
not like Disney.
But I think something that's different with Disney is like Disney has such fans for the company. Like, there are people who dedicate their whole lives to this content and to the nostalgia of it and who are like, I'm going to Disneyland every year. I don't care if it's a pandemic. I'm going to buy everything I can that's from this movie. Like, people who are full-grown adults.
I think what they're going to do is like, probably, like...
stand Disney.
They're going to position themselves sort of like Apple does, right? They're going to do, like, the ecosystem thing. That's how I would do it. I would do, like, an ecosystem thing. Well, and
I think it makes sense because Apple also has, like... people who are like, I mean, me, I don't buy non-Apple products.
It's
you know?
Literally
like
impossible are so,
but there's
to
not
leave.
Like NBC addicts who are like, I love NBC. I buy all this NBC gear. Like, I just think it's a
yo,
different
if I
kind
met
of
an NBC
game.
Addict, I'd be like, bro, stop.
There's not enough. I mean, there's not enough. Like, they don't have enough products just like in terms of diversified products. That is just not.
But no,
like,
here's
all
the thing.
But
they,
I also think there's not.
Like
I don't even
media.
Know if it's that.
All no,
they have
do.
Is media.
They no because but Disney doesn't have that much diversity. It's just the same product.
Disney brands it's, the brand.
Yes,
Disney right. But they also have like Disney. They have amusement parks. They
so
have
does NBC
that are as big as Disney World.
Universal Studios
as big Studios as Disney huge. World.
Not I as mean, big, but like it's pretty big. It's like they
Universal
have
Studios.
All the globe.
I mean, Warner Brothers has a studio you could go visit.
But well, I'm not saying like they're not. Universal, I mean, the California one.
No,
the California one doesn't. The one in Florida, people love.
Yo, like, that, people like that more than the Disney one in Florida.
That's for Harry Potter. Yes. Right. So I'm saying, but I mean, some people are team Universal Studios. Some people are team that over Disneyland.
Yeah, so I'm
saying is what it would behoove Disney to do is sort of do the Apple model where, like, you make it in a way where, like, the ecosystem all coexist and they elevate the brand to a space where, like, once you get someone, once you, like, it's the same thing Amazon is doing. I hate that. I always go back to Jeff. But it's the same thing he's doing. It's like, once you sign up for this once, I have you in 7 different parts of this world. It's the same thing. That's what I would do if I was Disney. I would.
But they don't. But Disney doesn't have. They don't have like a place to enthrall you in that way. Because like they just have like a product. They don't have like a marketplace in that way. So like Amazon has Amazon Prime and these.
That's
sort
of. So that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like they should figure out a way to. Yes. Because no, like listen, Amazon and Apple is gonna be the two people that are gonna do that.
Hear me out. Once this pandemic is over, Disney will, because then their parks will be back up and they're gonna fleece them parks with every kind of ride.
To be honest, the parks are up and running. People are going to the parks.
They are, but like they're Christina, like, whisper.
Disney people don't believe in pandemics. Like,
well, because they can't financially. But no, because like if Universal or NBC has all the same, they have not the same, but they have animated shows and kid shows, and they have a lot of things too. They just didn't brand it in a way so it's like this evergreen synonymous thing. Like it's similar to Disney, similar to the Nintendo method, because Nintendo said we're gonna sell you nostalgia, we're gonna sell you this person, this character, this thing, and we're gonna spin this character 55 different ways, and you're gonna love every instance of it. And Disney's doing that with Marvel and Star Wars and these things. We're gonna spin Marvel 97 different ways. And
I think comic books too. Comic books sort of lends itself to like it's never ending. Like you could do 1,000 different stories. I mean, the comic books have different volumes, right? So like you could always do. You could rehash another WandaVision in some other way 5 years down the line if you really wanted to.
Well, and always the easiest thing to do in comic books is you pass the reins. Dun, dun, dun.
And then here you go. A new hero. New character.
A new hero.
Right.
Literally same villain, same issue, same everything, but a new hero.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, but about this show here, let's talk about that a bit. We gave Kathleen Hahn her big upins last week. But the thing I dropped in the group chat was the next big character reveal, who I think Rambo and them are going to see. I'm going to say it in the pod so it's on record. I'm thinking it's Victor Von Doom. And the reason I was thinking that is because she said, like, engineer friend, there are, like, aren't that many engineers or, like, qualified engineers in the MCU, but who also is engineering, like smart enough as an engineer, but also strong enough as a superhero to duke it out with her. Not even beat her, but like, you know, at least try to hold his own. And there was like 3 people that came to mind, or 4. It was like, what's his name? Mr. Fantastic, Dr. Doom, Captain Marvel, and Dr. Strange, so 5, and Blue Marvel.
So, like 5. So that would mean that, aren't they doing a Fantastic Four reboot?
Well, they haven't decided. They haven't said how they're going to introduce them. If like it's an old thing, like that's the thing. So they haven't said how they're going to introduce them. So that's why I came with the Doctor Doom theory, because I said it'd be weird to just have Mr. Fantastic show up, because no one wants to see him by himself. So if I'm Disney, I'm kind of cheap in a way. What's the cheapest way to introduce 4 characters? Introduce their main villain. Because if I introduce their main villain,
as already an established villain.
I think they could probably just bring him in as Victor Von Doom.
Okay.
Because then if it's Victor Von Doom, it's like,
so
yo.
So he's Doom already. Like, he's already he's already been to that other side of the planet and his face is all messed up and everything.
I think they'll do just Victor Von Doom.
Got it. So they'll do the scientists and then they'll sort of leave it to the other guys to figure out, like, are they doing a reboot or they're picking up from some other place or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
That's what I'm thinking.
I'm looking at theories right now, and somebody else fully agrees. And it's like, this is how they're going to introduce Fantastic Four. Like, something about He was the one who had to stick the skin thing. Mm-hmm. This is all
oh,
about
see,
me.
The only theory I was reading, everyone was like, oh, it's going to be Reed Richards. And I was like, why would they just introduce just Reed Richards? No one likes just Reed Richards. Stop.
No, somebody's with you.
I also think they haven't even casted these people yet. It's probably an easier sell to cast just Victor Von Doom and not go cast the Fantastic Four, which probably is
going to
take a lot.
People lose their mind if it's not John Krasinski, though, because people have been pining for him for 50 years.
To be who?
Reed Richards.
Ah.
And
Where also mainly
that?
Because...
That probably is him. He's been out here doing stuff.
Well, mainly because they want Emily
Blunt.
I love
me some Jim from The Office. Oh, got it.
So it's a kind of a dual thing. Like, yeah, we love John Krasinski, but also we love Emily Blunt, so... Sue Storm, type.
I see. So, it's a, we like you, but we're not really doing this for you.
It's like when you draft the 3-star player,
right?
It's like the older brother, because his younger brother's a 5-star player. It's like, yeah, I want to get the older so we can get the younger.
Wait, speaking of John, did A Quiet Place 2 ever come out?
It did not. It got pushed.
It's finished. It just hasn't been released.
Yeah, it got pushed.
Go oh, speaking that. Of things that are finished that hasn't been released, Rob's movie, they're really adamant on making sure that this comes out in theaters, which is Black Widow.
Can we talk about this Black Widow thing real quick? Because it is really
Black Widow.
I really don't care
about it. They are adamant.
I have no idea.
Haven't we moved on? Like, we're doing WandaVision now. And, like,
I never cared about Black Widow.
We're
but,
phase
like,
four.
Now
we're in
really
phase 17.
Like, we have left y'all. Although,
fam, we're
I also heard
we're introducing...
Steve Rogers is coming back in that new Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
No, I don't think I will.
That's what I heard. I heard he's got
I didn't hear
scenes.
That.
I've heard a few rumors.
My friend's
about
gonna lose
too.
Her mind.
But I think it may be just old man Rogers.
Okay. So I was like,
he's an old
so
man
what
now.
Was the
he can't
whole thing
be
about giving my man's the chill.
He's like, you know how white people be.
I want
to give you place to we give you place to live and then
no
we,
take
you know,
backsies.
No take backsies. No, yeah, that's all that is. What was the other rumor I heard? No, yeah, because they want John Krasinski. To put, and they've been like pushing this ever since Disney
love
bought
Fantastic Four.
Ever since Disney bought the Fox stuff, they've been like cast John Krasinski. So we'll see about that. What was the other one?
So are we gonna do MBJ as Storm? Again? I mean, as a what's
Storm?
His
Storm?
As,
oh, as Johnny Blaze?
As Johnny Blaze again?
So he can't. He's Killmonger, so he can't be there.
Oh right, you're right, and he's coming back apparently in Black Panther 2. You heard it here first. I have an inside source.
I was going to say,
you know
what?
You know what I hate? You know who I hate? You. No. Who?
No,
he had said
that he would love
he
to come
would.
Back. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's do this real quick. Who should be Johnny Blaze, Hank?
Who should be Johnny Blaze?
What are y'all talking about?
He's Flame On
the fire,
guy.
The fire guy in
oh,
Fantastic
I've never
Four.
Seen a Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, okay.
I've never seen that.
Got it. Okay.
Who's annoying?
No, it should go to someone that can do the role well.
Nah, I want someone.
Rob wants
I'll ponder.
Tank.
I'll ponder.
Yeah, we'll ponder
as,
on that.
As the pod continues.
Whose thing?
Paul that Dana? Should be Brian Tyree. He would body that.
But he's in DC.
Oh, yeah, he is. Okay.
He just signed
right.
to DC.
I don't know. This is too much for me.
Yeah, he just said. Yep, he's in the DC universe. So you got to find someone else. Yeah, we'll think on that.
I'll ponder.
But then, okay, now I gotta think who's gonna play Victor Von Doom.
That's what I'm saying. So like that would mean that they've already casted this person, and that person shot scenes.
Well, the only reason I'll say that too, because well, that's not shocking or surprising. Because
oh, yeah, I know that happens
well,
all the time.
First of all, and you know the Disney NDA is airtight,
tight lipped.
Like you have Disney NDA is one, Beyonce NDA 1B. Like, those are definitely the one seeds in the Midwest Conference right there.
Yeah, no, I know.
No, because the reason I say that, too, because in The Mandalorian, Mark Hamill has an appearance. And
I did hear about that.
And he's a heavy tweeter, so he was quiet about it.
As a
but
church
still,
mouse.
But still heavily tweeting. So I was like, wow, that NDA is
strong
solid.
With this one.
That joint is sturdy. So yeah, so I don't know. They definitely probably cast it. And they're like, yeah, if you say anything, we'll stick the mouse on you.
Not the mouse.
I literally have this picture of Disney headquarters, the mouse being so monsterish. It's like whenever they want to get something done.
No, I honestly see, why do I see like a pack of rats? It's like the mouse is like when you're in good graces, and then they send the rats when you're like,
acting up. What's the, Too Fast, Too Furious, when they put the rat on the guy and they light the thing on fire? Yes. That's what they do.
Remember those rats in Stranger Things?
Mickey on you. Oh my God, yes. That was
terrifying. Have you all seen Princess Bride?
No.
No.
Oh, it's an older movie. They just have there's a place called the Land of Unusually Large Rodents, and they have like these human sized rats in there. That's what you mean.
I've heard that's such a classic movie, but
it is. Well, we watched that over the weekend. It really is a classic movie. Oh yeah, I really like it. Mandy Patinkin's in it. Robin Wright is in it. What is his name? Wallace Shawn. Yeah. So yeah, no, it's a really good movie.
I'll have to add it to the list.
So yeah, I say spend that. I think it's on Hulu. Yeah, it's
got
on
it. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. Hulu's been adding more movies I've seen as I flip through to go to my house on shows.
Because their shows, they usually just run network shows, and network shows aren't coming back, so they're like, we gotta pivot.
I'm glad to see it.
Gotta keep people on the platform. I haven't
watched
them yet,
but I'm like, I'd see that. I'd watch that again.
Look at all these movies that I'm never going to watch. There you go,
Christine. I mean, I'm going to. I'm getting there.
Any of the WandaVision hot takes or thoughts or commentary?
No, I'm just really excited for this. I'm very intrigued.
Did we talk about how, have you guys seen some of the think pieces about like, they're like, WandaVision is not television. It's just a bloated long form movie. And people are like, that's what television is.
What?
I haven't seen a single critique of the show, so I haven't seen that one.
The critique has been more around like it being weekly.
It's get over bingeable. It.
Like,
because people got used to binging, and they're like,
and so like,
I feel that. However, move on.
You'll be
like,
all right.
Trying to find all these creative ways to say that, but like, it's just a very long movie that they're dragging out week by week to make money.
If you don't like waiting, then just don't watch it. I don't know what to tell you.
Friends do that, actually. They just like wait till it's over and binge it.
And I get the appeal of that, and I respect it, but like, I know you're not watching it every week and complaining. Like, get a grip.
I like it because it adds
to my rotation. Like, some I binge, some I wait, so it's like, I have something to look forward to. I can watch this in one day.
Every Friday. Last episode I watched thrice because I had questions.
Three times.
I had to figure some things out. But yeah, so I spun that. But yeah, so we're all on board for that. Oh, let's talk about something else I hate.
What do you hate?
Have you guys heard about the casting for this Mr. and Mrs. Smith reboot?
Oh Lord.
Is this actually fact?
This is actually facts.
Actual factual.
Why are they remaking that?
That's what I want to know.
Well, because it made a bunch of money.
It wasn't but why now?
Right.
It was kind of long ago. It was over a decade ago.
I guess. I mean, a decade is 2010, so I'm sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. But still.
Well, Rob's favorite actress is going to be starring.
Who are the leads?
Phoebe Waller-Bridge. And Childish Gambino.
And Donald Glover.
I said, excuse me?
I don't see
it. But then they came out and said, oh, no,
I'm not seeing it either.
It's not going to be like.
Man did that thing with Rihanna and gave me zero chemistry on screen.
Who?
I mean.
I said what I said.
I was trying to find a lie, but. Well, no, because Sankara, you're wrong. I can't think of a reason why, but you're wrong. But no, so like, and what made everyone's like, yo, like, that's probably the most least sexy parent you could have ever thought of.
It's giving C-list movie. It's giving very.
It's a show.
It's a show?
Yes.
As if I'm going to tune in every week for that.
You're joking. Bye. You're joking.
I kid you not. And what's funnier? Here's the jokes to me. There's things that, a lot of things I hate. Here's the jokes to me.
My God.
He's like 5'10, 5'9. She's like 6'3.
Hey, that's okay. People can have high differences.
But it's still no, I'm not saying. But that's going to be funny to me.
It's giving
that's
going to
be hilarious to me. because apparently it's not going to be the same sexy vibe as the movie. It's like, well, a different spin on it.
What is
it's
this,
like
Community? Or, oh my god.
Oh, Community, but with guns. I said, first, then why call it Mr. and Mrs. Smith? Like, yes. If it's not going to be the same vibe.
If it's a show and it's a different vibe, then let's not even call it that.
Let's call it like, something not. Else.
And you act like we watched the movie because of the plot.
Wait, like, hold on.
To be fair, I did watch that movie.
But also, I love it. Was giving high-grade sexy time. And I'm not getting this movie.
It's Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, yes.
Right.
Sex appeal through the roof.
Correct.
And they also have, we talked about chemistry on screen. They have elite chemistry together on screen.
That's what I'm saying. They can pick, oh my God.
We didn't watch this movie for the
plot. How did I miss this news? Because I would have went off on the timeline.
The timeline was dragging, so I don't know how you missed it. You must have been just off the grid.
Yeah, you must have been busy, because
People were going
in. It pissed off me and my homegirls.
I was pissing me off right now. Like, why are they? What studio is
this?
I'm
sad that you just had this news broken.
I think it's Amazon Prime.
I see that.
Jeff, listen, Basil steps down for 2 minutes.
They love
Basil steps down for 2 minutes, and look what happens.
They don't know what to do.
He was like, no, you know how everyone was like, there's a big scandal coming. He said, because there's a scandal coming.
This is his last order. Like, you know what, Jeff? Sorry. You're senile. Get out. No, because she has that deal with Prime, so she can't do anything, I think, with like any show that's not on Prime.
Oh, right. She's in a 360 deal. I totally forgot. Yeah.
Aw. When will Phoebe own her master?
No, never. Hopefully not. Because then she'll try to take it somewhere else. And people started saying, like, yo, why don't you have anyone that has, like, you know, potential chemistry or...
0.1 chemistry, like 0.2.
Maybe they have a lot of chemistry, we just aren't seeing it.
I guess they must have read really well.
I feel like they should have kept this a secret and then dropped the first episode. Run.
I don't want to see their chemistry, though.
Well, I guess you don't have a choice now, so...
I'm not going to watch it.
You will on the timeline you see clips, so...
Right.
Troops, I need to drag it, so here we are. I'm gonna spin
right, you got to watch something to drag it. That's your rule.
Me and my rules. Ah, curses.
Quit having them. You can be like me and talk about things you haven't
y'all
read.
Ruined my day like this. Oh, I love Mr.
I can't
and Mrs.
believe you
Smith.
Missed. I'm like really confused how you missed it. I feel like it was trending for like 2 days. Like,
I must have been doing busy.
Well, no, because I think what happened was they mentioned it, and the TO kind of ran with it, but they didn't really keep. They didn't reference it. So they just kept saying like, what I kept seeing was like, I'd rather see these two people. And like, if you didn't necessarily catch the Mr. and Mrs. Smith thing, you wouldn't. It would just seem like normal fan casting.
I saw people dragging both of them.
Oh, no. Why would I want to see either one of them
in this role?
I searched Phoebe and I was like.
Oh, my God. That's funny. You know how you can save searches on Twitter? Like, that's one of his save searches.
Because I need the one that slander whatever she does, and so I can like their tweets.
Because you're her biggest fan.
And quote tweeted with the yelling emoji.
All right, let's move on to something else that's admirable. That's not this.
Well, let's talk about it then, Carl. What do you expect? Emmy vibes?
I'm sure it will. I know how they are.
The whites.
The white.
What else do we watch?
Not that.
All right, let's get this Judas take.
Let's get into it.
Oh, yeah, this is why I even wanted to talk to y'all today. Y'all made me rant about Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Childish Gambino. Let's talk about something I want to talk about.
No, I need to send Cara's day to go bad. He was feeling too happy.
Anyway, can we talk about Judas and the Black Messiah, please? Thoughts?
Let's talk about the Black Brits, first of all, because I'm sick of them.
Oh, off the bat, you didn't even get a movie
What pissed me off even more, not even about the movie, is that now he's trying to steal our black women. Did you see what he did to Robin Roberts?
Yo, that was so funny. I did see that every time.
She was ready to risk it all.
I saw that live on GMA, and I was like, oh, Rob.
I said, Robin,
Rob was having a great old time.
Control yourself.
Let her have a little fun. She's on GMA. She woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
No,
that show is so early. I'm always like, what time do these people wake up to do this?
They have like probably 3 or 4.
Have you seen Morning Glory? They're up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my God, that is nuts. Speaking of, I gotta watch the morning show. I wanted to watch the pilot of that actually. Takes. I want you guys to give your review.
All right, I'm going to give my overall view about the rollout, and then we can talk about the actual movie.
Okay.
because I do, someone mentioned it, but I was, I mean, I kind of like, that helped me put it into words, but I had this, it was like a weird feeling of them making a movie about a very overt socialist, communist black leader.
Mm-hmm.
Who was very anti.
He was a Marxist, is what you're saying. He was a Marxist.
Capitalism, and specifically black capitalism. He was very against it because he said, what does that do?
Yes, he was a Marxist / Leninist, which means like it's the greatest of socialists of all time.
Yes, the pinnacle of socialism.
Yes.
And so with you making a movie about that, one, to find out that you treated the production of the movie, like, again, like, I usually don't feel this way, but, like, about him, like, he's so overtly that. So, like, the fact that you had a very top-heavy, typical payment structure of, like, oh, yeah, these are the top billed actors and this is the top director, so they get this thing, and then, like, the below-the-line crew, nah, you get your snickle fritz.
So you're saying you thought this specific film was going to be handled in a socialist way.
No, I didn't think that. But, like, the fact that you didn't makes me, like, like, of all the things. Only because, and also because, too.
There's
because
no Malcolm, way.
No, the reason I say that because
I would have thought that would have happened.
Because Malcolm and Marie did almost something like that.
Right. One, they but made that, they said but that's they made, very, but that's because of Z, right? And her team. Right. And knowing that they like helmed this project, that had nothing to do with it. Netflix and the studio. Yeah,
yeah.
Netflix just bought that movie.
That's what I'm saying. So like, correct. With Malcolm and them saying, "All right, we're going to give our below the line crew points. We're going to," and that's like pretty much once it sells, they make money outside of like the money they made.
That was not
to
a studio thing. That was people thing.
I know, no, but that's all I'm saying. And I understand that.
I did not think Warner Brothers was going
to
do that.
No, I did not expect Warner Brothers to do that. I'm not saying Warner Brothers should.
But I do find it funny.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yes. Interesting.
Are you just saying, like, it's just, like, it's okay, ironic. Like, even making a movie like this, yeah, about this person, like, you're a hypocrite. Like, this is fully hypocritical. Essentially, like, yes. You want to profit off of this person who would have hated that.
In the movie, he did that exact same thing. He gave money away because, yeah, so that. And then also, again, the soundtrack. Loved a bunch of the records. Loved it.
Actually, I have a hot take about the soundtrack.
Well, hold on, real quick. There's a record called Rich Nigga Problems on this essential Fred Hampton movie soundtrack.
I thought the soundtrack was mid-ery. Really?
And then they have a literal black billionaire rapping on the Fred Hampton soundtrack.
Right.
I was like,
ugh. I personally, of all the other soundtracks of these big movies that have come out, this one is on the low end.
Well, you compare it to like the Black Panther one, which Slibbity slapped, the Queen Slim one, which Slibbity slapped.
Those are movies, right?
I'm just saying like. Well, yeah, true. This does not compare to them. It's not as good. Oh, definitely not.
That's what I'm saying. What am I supposed to compare it to?
The Photograph had a better soundtrack.
It's a blockbuster. What am I supposed to compare it to?
I'm trying to think. What else came out? Something else came out that had a slibbity slap in. What other black movie?
Anything. Alvin and the Chipmunks. I'm
kidding. Shut up. Sing, though. Slibbity slap better. But, yeah, no. The SZA record I really
I thought
liked.
It was okay. I thought the soundtrack was
the
okay.
The what record?
Not SZA, her.
I was going to say, yeah, you might want to say that again.
Good catch. Thank you. Yeah, the her record.
Really, ladies really and liked. Gentlemen, her.
Yeah, have you seen that? The Black Thought and C.S. Armstrong one I really liked. Those are ones on top. Well, because I will say, I skipped to the Rich Nigga Problems and I was like, they really put this on here.
Yep.
Like, and A$AP Rocky is like the epitome, I feel like, of capitalism. Not the vibes.
But also, that's not my fight.
And that's his right. I'm not saying he can't be that, does not fit.
Yeah.
But also, too,
they didn't go for that.
And, like, I guess this is, like, the way the universe is working on the timeline. Like, oh, I saw, I think it's an ad, like, Judas and the Black Messiah is, like, doing streaming numbers on HBO Max and it's doing so well. And then literally a tweet below it that someone posted was like, hey, yo, we need some money to save the Hampton House. You know, here's the GoFundMe link.
Yes.
And
I was like,
yeah. Yeah. By the way, that did get overfunded.
Why didn't the studio just fund it?
Yes. So that's the point I was going to make.
$400,000 or something. Like, that was the point I was going to make
to Rob's earlier point about the studio enacting some socialism payout for this movie that Warner Brothers would never do. I was going to say, I know they weren't going to do that. So, like, it's funny. It's ironic. Not going to hold that against them because I knew they were going to do that. But that Fred Hampton House thing should not have even been a news thing, right? Like, it should have been like, and I don't know, everyone's getting blamed for this, but like, it should never even got to this because like, part of the money that you're making from this movie should directly go to this family and to the, because some of the structural things about the Panthers still exist, and that's where that money should have gone. I don't know if it's going there now, I'm sure it is, but like, that shouldn't even be made news. I was like, shame. I was like, shame on y'all for not even like. And I know, and like, Jay-Z had said that like most of his proceeds that he made from being in the soundtrack went to the Hampton House and the Nipsey House. And so like, I was like, the amount of money this costs is like a footnote to. I'm not telling Shaka King, and the brothers who wrote the movie to foot $400,000, but Warner Brothers could have footed that bill easily.
Are we looking at some of the production companies behind it also?
Yeah, I'm looking at Macro, Braun, all of them.
That's all I was asking.
Yes.
That's all I was asking.
Yes. Yes.
I just wanted to 100%. Know who. I just wanted that. That's all I was asking.
If you are, especially if you're a studio, right? Like, if you have the bread, you could find it.
But also, at least, you just made a bunch of money off this movie.
At least the bare minimum. The bare minimum. Regular people shouldn't be footing that bill. They should return all the money that regular people going through a pandemic footed to GoFundMe.
That's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing.
Footed to GoFundMe to keep this house in its state and put all, whatever that costs, $400,000, whatever the hell it costs, they should be footing that bill themselves.
A drop in the bucket.
Like, a drop in the bucket.
Also, you get to look good because you saved the house. Like, like, I don't know.
What
I
just should have been part of the marketing rollout.
No, right, literally.
You say that because someone posted a story about, I don't remember the company it was, who they spent $5 million in marketing to tell people that they gave $1 million in, yes, like, charity.
I saw that.
Like,
and I'm sure that's the case for like most of these brands. Yes, like whatever they're donating, I'm sure that they spent more getting nothing. That word out there.
Dropping
to
a bucket.
Like,
what they're going to spend, or what they probably already spent to get Daniel Kaluuya and the whole cast and crew at Academy Awards for their FYCs probably eclipses that amount.
Oh, easy. But no, I heard. I think I said it on here. I was saying, I read it somewhere. But it was, I told y'all in text. But like, it was a story that like, when you go to like these stores or whatever, like, hey, you want to donate a dollar to St. Jude's? You're not giving money to St. Jude's. You're giving money to the Target or whatever, because Target already gave like $500,000 to St. Jude's.
Dang, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and
I've been giving money to St. Jude's.
They're trying to recoup their money.
Oh, no, I think it's a pride thing where it's like, I can't sit there and have a cart full of Target beauty products and then be like, will you give a dollar to St. Jude's? And you'd be like, no.
I'd be like,
no, I feel so like ugly about myself. Like, oh, I couldn't spare dollar.
Nope.
And I'm buying trash. If I was buying like groceries,
here's what you do. You go online when you get home and you go
and send it to St. Jude's.
Straight to St. Jude's and send it to them.
Fine. All right. I'll stop. Dang. I don't know if I'll stop because I don't want to look bad.
No, just right, like
you said, the object is gonna be like, ooh.
Wow.
But that's
she bought 14 nail polishes and can't give a dollar to St. Jude.
But that's how they get
did
you
she even
because
need
they, know,
one?
They know
she didn't. It was ugly.
Or two green
they know
ones.
They know you'll get suckered in. So that's why they do it that way. They use the guilt to recoup their losses.
They really
you know the vibes.
And nobody around me ever donates, so maybe everyone knows this, and I just
yeah,
I'm
like, no,
the fool. I think I'm the only good person
in line.
Yeah, you're
definitely
the
boo-boo the fool for sure.
Nah, you're the boo-boo. You're the boo-boo
for sure.
All right, let's talk about this film, though. Let's talk about that. And I said it last week. I'm going to reiterate it. Ashton Sanders, if you ever catch this episode, I need you to talk to your management. Sit them down and say, like, yo, what's up? because the fact that you, as talented as you are, get 7 minutes on screen, I have questions. I have so many questions. Dominique Fishback, sit your team down and say, all right.
No, she's they've been working for her.
No, no, I played the B role enough. I need leads from here on out.
I'm sure she's about to get them.
Yeah, I know, but I just need to sit them down and just reiterate. Reiterate. Just say real quick, in case, just to circle back.
Even in this movie, I felt like they could have gave her more. I feel like she was primed to do. And I understand the lens in which the movie was being told, but I was like,
yeah.
She did not. I did not feel like, oh, the stage is too big for her. I was like, oh, she could carry, easy. Mm-hmm. My girl Dom would carry.
Yeah. So that's the two things I'm saying. Y'all talk to your teams. Dom, you reset the room and say, hey, just we're all on the same page. Ashton, you be like, listen, y'all got one more chance, because enough is enough. And then Daniel, just you invite to the cookout. So here we are. As a black Brit,
you're invited to the black African American cookout.
Yeah, the black American cookout.
Got it.
Did you watch that GMA interview with him?
Yes, I caught a few clips of it. I didn't see the whole thing.
I thought it was really interesting when he talked about the voice coach that he went to learn how to do speeches properly without hurting his vocal cords versus how to speak like Fred Hampton, and then when he was giving speeches. And I really noticed in the movie, I don't know, I could see where that work went. I felt like it was good.
Yeah.
I appreciate the dedication to the role.
Yeah. To add to that, I've been doing a lot of, whenever I watch a movie that piqued my interest, I do a lot of dives into whether it's character studies or the writers or the director and stuff. And he definitely, he's had to do extensive research, really. To the point of, the question was always going to come up. It's not my battle. I always try to equate it to, how would I feel if someone not from Haiti went to Haiti to play a huge Haitian figure? Because Fred Hampton is a massive Haitian figure in the black community, and that being played by a non-black American. I'm just gonna say I see both sides, man. Because I totally understand the criticism. And I think he does too, to some extent, because he's done some press tours where he's talked about it as well. But I thought he did a phenomenal job.
I don't think you can say oh, he did horribly, but I think you can be. I think you have a right to be mad about him being cast for sure.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, the man did what he had to do.
Yeah. I thought the movie as a whole, even knowing how it was gonna end, it was still pretty raw. I just remember watching the ending and being visibly upset, even though I knew how this ended. I've seen enough documentaries to know, I've read enough to know, the cruelty and the sheer violence, that the FBI and Chicago police descended upon them, that night. I felt they even reserved a bit, but even then it was still how cruel this act was. And I thought I always come in here and talk about this, but I thought the whole thing was so well shot. Particularly that scene where they go visit the Crowns in that big hall.
Yeah.
That scene from the start of that scene to the end of that scene, the shot selection in that scene was I can always tell when either a director envisions a movie, the parts that are their favorites, the parts they see first, in terms of visually, because has such a strong visual tone to the rest of the movie, from colors to choreography to the shot selection. I could tell there are scenes that Shaka had seen even before turning on a camera to do a run through. I was
Literally, this the scene where he's walking up the stairs to give that big speech in front of everyone.
So dope. That scene was so
like,
dope, too.
The shot of him going up the stairs was like, ooh, I was just getting so hyped. I was so into it.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, no, I thought they did a really good job production-wise, with like production design. And the performances were really good. I did, like I said, I don't necessarily know if I consider this a biopic because I thought it was interesting the lens in which they decided to tell this story, which is through William O'Neill, and not necessarily...
Yeah, I don't think it's a biopic, in my opinion.
I mean, like, most people are calling it a biopic. I don't know if I do. Like, I see why. Like, I think the time breakdown ends up being almost half and half between, like, on screen, between William O'Neill and Fred Hampton. But I found it interesting that they decided to tell the story through the perspective of the informant. It said a lot in terms of like what they were trying to accomplish. You know, I'm not from Chicago. I obviously wasn't born here. I like to think I'm sufficiently versed, you know, in black activism to know these figures, even though some of these figures we didn't even learn in school. Like, you just had to learn them on your own. To me, it seemed like, you know, they did the character enough service in terms of like the way he was portrayed. I'm sure like a lengthier, a more like focused biopic could have gone into even more in terms of Fred Hampton specifically. You know, being that the story was like about, you know, this informant infiltrating the Black Panthers, you know, that's kind of how I saw it in terms of like, okay, I don't know if I call this a biopic, but this is like a thriller. This gave me like thriller drama vibes, almost like the Departed vibes, where like an informant like try to infiltrate like this thing, and like it's a thriller in that sense.
I think Departed's kind of, I think it was like, what is it based on, like the Whitey Bulger story, the criminal. And I think, and the reason I remember that is because I remember the actual Whitey Bulger movie, how much I did not like it, only because, again, like, as in, not important, but like as big of a figure as he was, it's hard to do that in 2.5 hours or 2 hours.
It's really, time it really is.
It's almost impossible, because to really kind of tell their life, you need the time.
Yeah. It's almost like those things need to be like docuseries.
Like either a docuseries or like limited series type beats.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just say, I'm going to give you a 2 hours and tell you about Fred Hampton's life. Like, what?
Yeah.
You don't need more time than that, Chief.
And I feel like, to me, I mean, I guess technically it's a biopic, because, I mean, isn't that just like a movie about a real life person?
Like, yeah, it's like, it's William O'Neill's
real life.
And it
could be like, and it could be just like a glimpse. Right. So, but that's what I was going to say, is it feels more like a biopic of him with like Fred Hampton. And it almost makes me feel like this movie is happening because like Hollywood didn't want to make a movie about Fred Hampton unless they could like spin it to some like informant dramatic moment, you know? Like, it just didn't give me that vibe. And like,
you can't dramatize his life in a way that's entertaining, because it's not going to be entertaining.
I think that's a great point you bring up, Christine.
It's going to be rough. It's going to be kind of raw. It's going
to
be
like, I think that's how they sold this, to get a movie about Fred Hampton.
Yeah, I think this big. I do think there's a reason why, one, it took so long to make a version of this, because like, so to your point about Hollywood sort of allowing this sort of story to be made, I was still shocked, even in the state and the way this movie was made, that this was even let made. I was very surprised, because it's such a strong indictment against like government, police, the FBI, like sort of like tent poles in America that they hold near and dear, that like this was even let out. In the way that, because like, it's a strong indictment, man.
Oh yeah,
I don't know if this movie gets made in 2006.
But that's the other thing too. That's the other thing too that happens, is like, they will let you make historical things as like, ooh, that was J. Edgar Hoover then, because you remember the last thing we've seen on screen about J. Edgar Hoover before this was the biopic of him.
Yep,
with DiCaprio, and it was like, oh, you know, he was just, he's not that bad of a guy. He just,
I gotta go watch that again because I saw that when I was a kid. I want to see how they portrayed him.
I don't,
with a real lens.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, it was like, it was, they tried
to. I don't remember at all because, like, that was Leo, right? That did him?
Yep. They spun it a little bit like he's kind of like a troubled genius. Like a, because he started like the fingerprint thing, and they're like, oh, why don't you do this? Like, well, because it'll do this and it'll make us more efficient. So, like, they kind of spun it loosely, kind of like, what's his name? Like a Steve Jobs one.
I see.
Not saying it's the same tone, but like, it's loosely, because I remember like a lot of things being like that, and they just kind of like,
this movie got it.
And I was like, ugh.
20%.
So, yeah. And so just seeing how they portrayed J. Edgar, I say like that's because we're further away from it now and they feel like comfortable saying, oh, that's how they were back then. And
I also wonder too, if that was a deliberate choice by the creators of this movie. Because I know it was Shaka sort of came on board after the script was written. And I know the script was like, had a first draft that was written by one guy. And then I keep forgetting the brothers' names.
The Lucas brothers
mm-hmm. wrote a draft themselves and mm-hmm. then found out that somebody else wrote a draft, and they like combined both drafts and then went to Shaka and it was like, yo, we have this movie that we want to make. And then Shaka was like, this is super dope. And then the movie itself sort of like went through extensive rewrites to sort of get it to a place where it was marketable in a sense. So I asked that question at the beginning of this to say, like, I wonder if the way the movie is made is if it a way to sort of like make it so the broader masses, even if you don't really know a lot about Black activism, like you sort of like understand this story, even if you're just like passing by and like was like, yo, everyone's talking about this Judas and the Black Messiah movie, and you know, you live in Timbuktu and you have no idea who Fred Hampton is, you could still see this movie and like empathize with these characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I wonder if that was a way that, you know, because I know this happens a lot in like Hollywood where like, you know, they take a story and they like dramatize it to like make, because like, especially like, someone like, so what we're saying, like someone like Fred, it would almost do him better if a biopic of him is a docuseries where you sort of have a lot more time to sort of sit with the content to like really understand what's happening.
Well, and so that's kind of my thing. And like, I think that is the reality of it is, yeah, the fact that you have to water it down to make it palatable, and it's not a contradiction because, like, we praise Disney for that with their fictional content. But when you're talking about someone's real life who had real life beliefs and had real life ramifications and effects and it's like real world issues and things like that, I will feel a way that it had to be watered down or made more palatable to sell to an audience because.
I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I totally agree.
Hold on, I'm not saying like.
I think that's probably what happened.
And no, I think frustrating about it to me, and I think what makes this a more volatile, like whatever, like sensitive situation is because there's so much misinformation or lack of information about Fred Hampton specifically. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of things in history that like. We're told and we're not told the whole scope of it, or like we are, and so we watch a movie and it's a little off, but like it's fun to watch and we know the truth anyway, so it doesn't really matter. And then there's like this where it's like so many people have no idea who Fred Hampton is, like no.
Yeah, this no is probably going to be died. Like their first foray into
so
this.
So your first, yeah, so that's why I think people are extra sensitive. It's like, okay, well, if people don't know anything about him, are going to learn, they're going to think they know the whole truth and you're only showing this part, like this little sliver of his life. And all movies can't do everything for everyone, so like that's just a thing. But I understand, I guess, people being like, "This is watered down," and like you had a chance to really teach people about this like huge historic figure, and you did that. Like, I don't know, I could see that.
Well, yeah, because if you say, and then again, the question is, what I asked is, why'd you water it down? And if you say, oh, because the studio wouldn't have bought it, okay, then, you know. And it, so, again, there's the two sides of it. I get it. You know, you're trying to make money off it. You want to sell your script. You want to do this and that. So I get that. But also, like, and that's why I pointed back to, like, the rollout of this movie, because, like, then what's the purpose of it? Are you trying to package black activism in a way that's palatable? Are you trying to, like, put a black square on your Instagram page? Like, that's what it kind of leans towards to me, because if you're saying, like, oh, we want to do that, that makes people not as uncomfortable, then you've already missed the mark altogether in what you're trying to do.
I don't think that movie, this think... movie did that, though. I think
no, I'm not saying that. I will say, in a sense of, like, if you're saying we had to make this movie, I'm not saying the movie wasn't offensive or was non-offensive, but what I'm saying is if there are certain figures, instances in history, you know, yada yada yada, where, like, there is a point where you're like, if I have to make this more palatable, should I make it? And that's just a general question. Not saying you should or shouldn't. I'm not telling you.
Do you think they made this movie more palatable, though?
Are you talking about in general? I would assume yes.
But I think that's because it wasn't that focused on him.
Yeah. Like, I think it's a movie that there's a lot they could have focused on in his life that obviously they didn't. Right, like, similar to what you were saying with the, you know, like, his romantic side, right? They could have delved into that more, and they didn't, right? Like, ultimately...
Yeah, it was like, oh, you quote Malcolm X, you drink coffee, black, right. Let's have a baby. What?
Well, I don't think they painted him as a full person, which is...
Yeah, I mean, because, like, the story is told, like, through the informant.
Right, exactly.
And they made that very clear from the beginning. It was a
choice. And I also... When you mentioned, Rob, that, like, if you're trying to make it more palatable, then why are you making it? I feel that. But I also could see, I'm not saying I agree with this, I could see people saying, like, well, if we can get this movie made and it reaches a lot of people, a lot of those people might look more into this versus they would have never heard of it if it was never a blockbuster, if that makes sense. I'm not saying I agree with that.
I mean, that's,
but I could see people justifying it in that way, you know?
Yeah, you can always justify it that way. I'm not saying that. Like, it's the movie version of saying, "Oh, like, once I get this job on the inside, then I'm gonna work things on the inside." Like,
right?
Are you?
And some people do, and some people don't.
don't. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not putting this movie on either side. I'm just saying most in those instances do not.
I think it's less of the creator and more. Like, if this reaches a broader audience and they're not aware of who this person is, even if they don't even care for the rest of their lives after this movie, they now know who this person was.
So the question I have to that, because we talked about Malcolm and Marie, how they how they funded it and then sold it, and then Netflix just bought it from them.
Mm-hmm.
Was, and again, I don't think any of us know, but was that, why wasn't it? Or was it an option for this? Because the movie wasn't that expensive.
And I mean, I'm sure the Lucas brothers didn't have however this much this costs.
No, I'm just, I guess.
Right, so, like, this was funded by Macro, Brond, and whoever the other production studio was.
It was a third one.
And then Warner Brothers was attached as the distribution platform for their movie.
Yeah. Correct. I get all that. I don't want to be this guy, but, like, was there an option? This is a general question. I doubt either of you know.
Yeah.
Did they, like, say, okay, can we find a way to fund this and then sell it instead of having someone come on like that? And that's just a question, because I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I don't think we ever will know, because those they don't put those things out because specifically so you can't ask those kind of questions, so I get that. But that's just a thought that I had, because, like,
basically, you know, you're saying you would have gone the route of trying to make this yourself and then selling it after you've made it.
Certain stories, yes, I would, though, because then it won't lose. You don't have to then make it more palatable or water it down in that way. Because you say, we had creative control over this whole thing. This is what we made, and we can sell it. Now, then you can be like, oh, well, Warner Brothers is going to offer us $26 million if we have to do this and that. Netflix offers us 12. Then the question is, what do you do? Because if Netflix says, we'll give you $12 million as is, we're not going to change a thing, we'll put it out, market it, blah.
Yeah.
But Warner Brothers says, we'll give you 26.
I don't know how much... I don't even know if they weren't satisfied with the end product, they being the creators, like either Shaka King or the writers.
No, right? And this is more just, I'm using it as an example.
Too, I wonder how, I know the family was also very much involved in the production of this. Like, I also wonder how they feel. Like, I haven't really read up on anything about whether they thought the story.
And as we all know, like, I guess I'm not speaking specifically about this one. I'm using them to just have a broader conversation. I think that's what it is. But also, we know, like, them saying the family was involved doesn't necessarily mean the family was involved, because, like,
if they weren't, they would come out and say they weren't.
No, what I'm saying is there have been times where the family's like, yeah, let's do this. They sign on this and that and two, but then things change and they can't, you know, complain about it or like whatever. Like, yeah, you can't say anything about it.
Anything's really a possibility, right? But like,
so
sure, that's very much a possibility.
No, but that's what I'm saying. So like, I'm not using it as a negative or positive. I'm just saying like the family signing on, but also not having a beef with it is kind of like, that isn't an indicator, good or bad, either way. That's all I'm saying.
I see. I take it to like if the movie was made a certain way and they didn't agree, they would have been pretty vocal, I feel like.
If they're signed an NDA off rip again, but then it got changed, they can't say anything about it, though, without getting sued. And we see they had to go to GoFundMe to pay money for their house. So, like,
Yeah, no.
So that's what, again, I have no idea what happened. I'm just saying things. But,
yeah.
I guess I'm saying that's not an indicator for me, because of the possibilities why they couldn't be. And we talk about all the time, like, when certain black movies come out and they don't do well, no one talks about it. Like, good or bad, yes. They just get quiet. They talk about sports or, you know, oh, you guys see that game? Here's this GIF.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the movie. No. Guys, I got this cool GIF.
Yeah, no.
I mean, overall, though, I will say, because I feel like I haven't said this yet, I really enjoyed the movie.
Oh, yes.
I think there's a lot of nuance there. And, like, I think we've really gotten into a lot of, I don't know, like, there's a lot to be discussed about, like, what was done right, how it was approached, how certain people feel about it. Like, mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of room for, like, differing opinions there. And I don't even know, like, what family members are allegedly were involved. Like, what family members were involved. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a piece about the son and the mom did a piece about the movie. Mm-hmm. I think either with Shaka or the Lucas brothers or something like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't read it yet.
Yeah, and again, also, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed, and I said it last week, a lot of performances, all the things. And to the point that someone, I don't remember which one of you said it, this being a wide release, it does introduce people to Fred Hampton that may not have ever, you know, heard about him or heard about
him. I did not learn about Fred Hampton till my junior or senior year of high school, I think. And it wasn't even through school. It was like,
I don't think I learned about him until college, and I live in Illinois. Like, yeah. Well, and that brings up another thing. Like, there's this short documentary I want to watch, which actually I can send you the link if you're interested. That's also about like local police down here and like state police who like shot up this house on campus. There's like a college where I'm at right now in Carbondale, and they shot 778 bullets into a house that there was thought to have Black Panther members in there, and I think there's like a shootout. I don't know. I want to watch it because that's. It happened in like 1970 and I have no clue about any of it. But it's just like, there's so many things, like so many connections specifically to like the Illinois Black Panther Party that like, I had no idea about. Like they weren't talking about that in school. Like,
yeah.
What?
For damn sure. I did not learn about the Black Panther Party in school. I can tell
you
that.
And like stuff that happened, you know, a mile away from where I grew up. Like, yeah. I don't know. So.
No, I agree. Who knows? And that's it.
But I definitely want to dive deeper.
These things do have a way to introduce, cause like we talked about with, what's this show? Watchmen, how it introduced a lot of people to what happened in the Tulsa Massacre. And
how,
you know, things
that's
like that.
That's really how I see art at a certain level, too. It's just like any form of art, music, movies. It's like introducing new audiences to even the smallest things that they might not have known.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so again, I definitely agree with that aspect of it. But again, I still do have questions. And
for sure. Always.
Yeah. You know Rob's going to have a question.
I mean, I don't know. And it's about a subject that's important. They probably won't. Like, speak to Shaka King himself or.
Why don't you even think they have to be answered to just be like, okay, I'm understanding that, like, this is a factor that could have contributed to what we get here.
Yeah. And even, because again, why would Shaka tell me this? He doesn't know who I am.
Yeah.
Well, so I think, like, they do the. Like, how they got introduced to the project, right? Like, you might not find out the financials, but, like, you'll understand, like, if it went through rewrites, I'm sure I can pull up a piece about, you know, the writers. Because I know there's, like, four writers on this. That's sort of how I found out. There was, like, an initial writer who wrote one version. The Lucas brothers wrote one version. And then they came together to, like, meld both versions.
Yeah, before it came out, I heard about the Lucas brothers. And because the reason I remember that, because they're, like, stand-up comedians. And I was like, wow, in fact, not like they can't write this, but, like, it kind of, and, like, just knowing the kind of comedians they are, it was kind of, not shocking, but, like, I was like, huh, that they wrote, like, this very, you know, heavily dramatic piece about Fred Hampton. So, yeah. I did catch that. And I did see an article recently about Shaka did essentially kind of explaining why they went the Judas route and not like just the Fred Hampton, because doing it on a movie, I think essentially he was saying do it in a movie, you couldn't do it justice.
Like there's no time. It just, and, like, exactly. You know. Like it would have to be
again
6 episodes or like 6 hours or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Sign me up. Swap it out for that dumb Mr. and Mrs. Smith reboot and you got a viewer out of me.
I mean, I'm sure there's probably, this opens doors to do like a larger documentary or like a docu-series of some sort, which I would love to see. I mean, there's so much already out on the Panthers. You can find
I hope they just point Amazon to Prime. The ones that are really good, because I think, like, for example, like the Amazon that we talk about, the small X series Lovers Rock, there's a documentary titled Lovers Rock that came out in like 2012 that speaks about the music specifically that came out in like that time in like the 70s, like when they were West Indian were migrating there, like they took their reggae and kind of infused it with the sound in the UK, and they created the genre Lovers Rock. And so, like, I think that they could use this to point at two things that are kind of already in existence instead of trying to, like, oh, let's capitalize off this and make another doc about it. Like, that's because there are already a number, like Christine kind of said, she found one, like, there's so many.
There's a ton of Panther content online, and that's sort of how I learned about all of this stuff. It's just like either reading or like watching a bunch of different documentaries.
Yeah, there's lots to be dive into. There's lots to dive into.
There's lots to delve.
If you so delve, choose.
Watch the movie and then do some research.
You might not. I'm telling you, people probably might not.
Might not, but they should. But we'll see.
But yeah, at least you know that, you know, the cops is well, and again, the thing that stuck out to me the most in that movie, because we didn't talk about the movie specifically that much. The thing that stuck out the most about that movie was the scene when it's realized that Fred's going back to jail, and the cops, the FBI is like, "Woo, we got him!" Like the field agent's like, "We got him. He's going back to jail. Woo, celebrate, pop champagne." And Hoover was like, "No, what this nigga did." And I was like, "Yo,
yep,
yeah,
I'm telling you, I was shocked. I came out of that movie like they did." The powers that be, the Illuminati, see this movie? The American Illuminati saw this?
And not yet. Their internet was out. And they was like, wait, what?
I was like, okay.
But also, Chris Sankara, Christine, third eyes open real quick. Why did they let us see it?
Okay, Kyrie. Get in your bag.
Think about it. If this is something they shouldn't let us see and they let us saw it.
So what are you saying? Break it down for us real quick.
I gotta think about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, gotta, you come up with that conspiracy theory.
Right. Next episode, we'll let you know.
Next week, I got y'all. Conspiracy.
Ponder it for a week, y'all. Ponder it.
Ooh, conspiracy, race, conspiracy. Mm.
All right, bro. Stop.
There it is. I just got so excited the thought of a conspiracy episode. Oh, my God. Would love.
There it is.
You're not going to get a lot of info out of me for that episode.
You can't look some up?
Let's do this.
I'll teach the class.
That's the Christine and Rob episode then. Send Carl take the week off.
Yep.
He'll just be like, what? What?
Fair, I'll get my
full
hotel.
No, you have to be our surprise
back.
Audience. You have to. Now what?
Yeah, so Jews and the Black Messiah, shout out to the performances. About everything else.
And that's all I watched this week. A bunch of Real Housewives. Chris Harrison was ignorant, had to step down from The Bachelor, y'all. Mm-mm,
who's that?
A mess.
The host?
Chris Harrison is the host of The Bachelor. I've always had a problem with him, never trusted him, just for the record. But he went on an interview with the first Black Bachelorette. She has like a little show on, I don't know what it is. It's like Entertainment
Tonight. I love how you call
like
it this her little show. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, because it's like a segment. I don't want to, like, it's not like a full whatever. It's like a he went on her little thing. I don't know what it's called, but love Rachel, I stan, okay? And he went on there and was talking about this current, okay, this is already getting to be a mess. There's somebody on the current season named Rachel as well. This one is a racist or has been a racist in the past. And people are like exposing her like at these like racist parties and like people from her hometown are like, oh yeah, she like made fun of me for dating a Black guy, and then the current bachelor is a Black man, so like
I know that girl. I know at least that much.
And so Chris Harrison went on Rachel's show to discuss the like girl who's been exposed, like current Rachel, and I guess he said things like, well, yeah, if she did that today it would be bad, but in 2018 it was probably different. Like, he was basically defending her racist actions, saying that like
that was 2 years ago.
Literally three years ago.
And like he was like just basically defending her nonsense. And it's like totally not defendable, like things that came out. So it's like, why would you say that?
Yikes.
It was like really uncomfortable. And you know, on Rachel's show, like being
so
problematic.
Is the racist woman still alive?
She's on the show.
She's gonna win.
I think she is too. He's obsessed with her. He might be Republican though. So anyway,
he is Republican.
Yeah.
I have no idea who this is, so I couldn't tell you.
He's just some guy. I mean, he's not famous.
I just know he's Black.
Or anything. Yeah. So then Chris Harrison got like dragged on the internet basically because he said these awful things, especially on Rachel's show. And then he was like, "I'm gonna step down for some time and reflect on my actions." Blah blah blah. And like, I apologize to Rachel. And then Rachel like got out of her bachelor contract, I guess, because like you can like keep a contract with the show and keep coming on and like obviously making that bachelor money, but she said, no, I'm done, deuces. So
yikes,
drama in the bachelor sphere.
Wait,
hello.
So who's stepping up? Is it what's his name?
I don't know who it's gonna be.
Ryan Seacrest.
He does those shows.
No,
he will host anything.
He
does
keep
everything.
Me up to date though.
I don't think they do Ryan, because Ryan had some controversy too. I feel like I don't remember specifics right now, but I think he has some skeletons in his closet. So I don't think
it's gonna be Steve Harvey then.
I think it'll be a former bachelor.
Nah, it's gonna be a random Black.
So they love pulling from inside the franchise.
I'm sure I've asked this already. How long do these people stay together after the show?
2.5 years max.
Do you think it's genuine?
It really depends.
Have they already mapped who was gonna win and this was written out?
Well, okay. I don't think
you got her going now.
Don't get me going.
I wanna know. I'm very curious.
So imagine you're single going on the show as The Bachelor and you're meeting 20 something girls the first night. You can't tell me you don't know like three girls that you're like, all right, I'm very into those girls from night one. Like, you feel something. Like, if you're meeting 20 random people, I don't care if they're picked for you or not, they're obviously just picked for TV. Like, you're going to have certain connections with certain people. And like, I think that everybody has favorites from the first night. And I think that those people stay. And then I think there are certain like people who are just like chaotic or like really looking for attention that the producers are like, all right, keep them on for a couple more weeks.
Because
just
it's drama.
Because you only like three people for real anyway, and we have to like do this in a certain like number
each
format. Week. So
yeah.
Like, there's gonna be extras anyway.
Yep.
So for good TV, keep them around. I think a lot of people go on the show as a marketing move, and it's honestly a good marketing move because you go on the show for a couple whatever
you become an influencer.
Weeks, you become an influencer, and you can make
money.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars off Sugar Bear hair for the next 10 years. Like, why wouldn't you?
Very true.
And you can go to spinoffs. They have spinoff shows. So I think a lot of people go on it for that. I think that in the beginning,
so they never actually end up staying together.
Some do. Some actually do, but it's
you have to get married at the end of the show.
You have to get engaged. You don't have to get married.
Didn't one not get engaged?
Yeah, and it was like some big dramatic thing. You're supposed to get engaged, basically. That's the tradition of The Bachelor. But they're kind of switching it up now. I don't know. But traditionally, yes, somebody gets engaged. And if you don't stay engaged for like a certain amount of time, then I think you have to give back your ring, because they provide the ring from Neil Lane, and they're always so tacky. And yeah, if you don't stay engaged that long, you have to give the ring back. But
I see.
And they'll probably try to get you to, you know, get married so they can make a special marriage episode of the show. Blah 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 blah. As much as they can exploit, they'll get away with. But
well, keep me up to date about this race result. Oh, she ends up winning.
Don't worry. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if she did. Like, they've been vibing from night one, and I don't understand it, but whatever. Anyway, and that's The Bachelor with Christine.
I love this segment of the show. I'm going to ask you this every week now. That's the Bachelor segment.
We're going to move it up though to the B slot, because this is
honestly prime time. No, this is prime time. Don't get me started. I wish this was a Real Housewives of New York with Christine, because I could have some real content for y'all.
Oh my God!
Someone whips her leg off. She has a prosthetic leg. She rips it off and slams it on the table once when she's mad at somebody.
That seems dramatic for no reason.
What is happening? That is dramatic wild. For no reason. It's like what you're watching and you're like, what?
Did someone say
keep your feet off the table?
No.
The producer said, ooh, in this shot.
You know, it would be great. And that was her last episode on the show. That was honestly, what an exit.
I will be spinning a reality television show. Was it Death with the Bernards or Bird?
Buried with the Bernards. Yeah,
Buried with the Bernards. Death with the Bernards.
The group chat peer pressured me into watching one, so I'm going to spin really that.
You love reality.
I do not.
You watched that one.
I did watch that one. The one on Netflix about music. Yes.
Yeah.
The one that Sankara still fumes about daily.
That rap one.
Rhythm and Flow.
Don't get me started on that. Also, aren't they doing a new season? I think they're doing a new season.
Probably. Well, no, they may need to find another judge.
Between?
Because apparently one of the judges from Atlanta, last name Harris, first name Tip.
Oh, he's
definitely going to be on there.
Is in some, he has some hot water being boiled around him. So either they're putting it on hold or they may have someone else step in.
Dang, T.I. is messing up y'all show. Sad.
Hate it.
I will be super good if I never see that again. So.
That is so rude. I think Love is Blind, a new season's coming out soon, too.
Ugh. Didn't watch that either.
I'm going to be spending that reality show Buried with the Bernards, and I will give my full take next week.
Yeah,
full deep dive and breakdown, and we will get into that.
For sure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to leave you all. What are your FYCs?
I think everyone should watch the Cecil Hotel documentary on Netflix.
Drama.
It's insane. I'm sure it's at the top of your recommendation right now. And that's something, and like, it's, I think it's really good if you know about the case or you don't, of Elisa Lam, and just general like tomfoolery at the Cecil Hotel, because it's crazy out here.
I didn't watch the one on Netflix, the other one Netflix did about the cat,
The Night Stalker. I didn't watch it either.
Whatever, but I did not know the girls were out here on the internet solving crimes like that. Like,
oh yes, bro.
I was taken aback.
I can lead you to some things. Look, I'm all like, up in the true crime online community. Love.
I was like, there's that, and then there's what these people were doing. I was like,
oh no,
excuse you. They definitely thought they were the FBI themselves.
They do. No, well, do you remember the first season of Serial? Like, that people had all the, like, were like demanding all this information. And I think a lot of it was addressed in the HBO documentary about the serial case of whatever. But people were on it. They're like, no, that dude, the cell phone that, tower, like, said this, and this said that.
The dude that, like, literally went to the hotel and started filming. I was like, sir, are you a detective on the case? Okay, Sherlock.
On it. He said, somebody got to get on this case. Because y'all are still laughing.
He had a notepad. He's like, time of death. Excuse me, sir. Who are you? Tom Todd.
No, the case is wild. I think it's a nice, succinct series. It's only four episodes. You can binge it in a day.
I kind of wanted it to be longer. I just wanted more fluff because I was primed for a 10-episoder.
Well, there's so many stories like within that hotel. Like, there's just so much.
And that's what I thought they were gonna dive into, because like the other serial killers, I was like, ooh, tangent. Hello? Let's get it.
How are you gonna just lightly touch it? Oh yeah, some other serial killers were here, and they're back. Excuse like, me? What?
Let's talk about it.
I was like, let's dive deep.
Oh, they
Jeffrey Dahmer? Like, yeah, he has a spot all the time.
Right, so. And like a season of American Horror Story was also based off that hotel. But anyway, check that out. That's it's on nuts. Netflix. It's real good.
Yeah, that sounds scary, so I'm going to pass.
it's wild, though. It's wild, though. I'm going to do. I have been in my animation bag this week. I've watched I watch like animated movies all the time, and I finally decided to catch up on some DC ones on HBO Max, and I watched this one called Justice League Dark: Apocalypse War, and it was really good. I was like very much, and I like very much enjoyed the movie. And apparently, I was talking to someone. They're like, I watched it backwards because like it's the second installment of
the Justice League Dark before that.
Before that, and so I will be spending that as well, because I very much enjoyed this one. And it was a play. I was like, I want this in live act. I was like, it plays so well. I was like, if they were to make this, it felt like the magnum opus of what could probably have been like a phase in DC universe. Sort of Endgame was the same thing, because of like all the characters they like included in it, like Teen Titans, Suicide Squad.
They got everybody.
Bro, Suicide Squad was in there. I was like, yo, this is fly. And it was really well done. I liked it. HBO Max.
Well, and you also saw the Zack Snyder trailer, right?
Oh, yes, I did. And I was actually telling Rob about this. So they released the trailer, but they had been releasing screenshots prior. And in the screenshots, they released a bunch of people that were not in the first one. And I was like, how was this? I was so confused. I was like... Did Joss Whedon just like come in here and just basically make his own movie?
This man said, "Command A, delete. Yeah, let's get rid of all this crap. We're gonna take it from the top."
I was so like,
"Fam, we're done." Like, Gal Gadot was home.
I was so confused because you know what's so funny? Because right after I texted you, Rob, about that whole thing, is a tweet popped up on my timeline about Joss, and everyone know Joss has also been in hot water because he's just. Abusive director had popped up about how he had he got into a spat with Gal Gadot because like he was the one that was the main driver of Gal Gadot doing that scene with the Flash of like the Flash. Oh
yeah, so yeah,
we
talked about that. Yes, and she was like, "I'm not gonna do it."
Yeah, and
he was like, "You're gonna do it."
Yeah, and Joss was like, "I will ruin your career if you don't do the shot." I was like,
"No,
she
didn't. She didn't.
Everybody hates this guy."
She didn't do it. She had a body double come in and do it.
Yeah. I was like, yo.
Fam, what does this have to do with the movie? Why is this the hill you're dying on?
Zero. Not a single thing, bro.
I was like, yo, you are a terrorist, bro. You are a terrorist. Because if it was like, yo, I need you to stab... You know, Batman. No, I don't want to do that. All right, fine. Like, that makes sense. But she's like, nah, we'll do this gag where Flash
it's
falls
a gag.
On you.
It's literally a gag. What is this, like, 1938?
What do you need this for?
Yeah, I was very surprised that, like, a lot of characters that he didn't use that apparently was shot. Like, there's so much. And now I'm just like, how was this possible? I need answers. Similar to you, I have questions.
Yeah. I need to see the doc on like
questions. I have questions.
When Ray Fisher was at his house, like, they said, bro, we got a few reshoots. Said, all right, cool, I'll be there.
And they thought Ray was the boy who cried Rolf, and lo and behold, this man was literally a terrorist on set. He was the worst director. Like, I was like, yikes.
Anyway. I really have. And also, when the thing I was selling to Sankara, like, and it's not like he came in and reshot some first-time director's movie. Or, like, he reshot my movie or something like that. No, he came in and said, Zack Snyder? I said,
what does he have on the executives that he was able to do that?
I have, listen, when that doc drops, when Zack does his tell-all book, I need to know. No, I'm going to acquire that because I was actually getting mad at the fans. Who kept saying release the Snyder Cut? Clearly, they knew something.
This is all going in circles because they're also internet sleuths, so they also did some investigating on this case that I clearly didn't know about.
And I was getting sick of them. Like, yo, okay, we all.
I was like, there's no way this is that different.
Fam, it is a whole different movie.
new characters just popped out.
Fam, I'm like, all right, so they're onto something. So I'm sorry, internet. I should have been on the bandwagon.
The internet sleuths. Internet investigators.
They knew something we didn't know.
That's what I've learned this week. The internet investigators are serious. I'm
riding with them forever now. I don't care what they do now.
You know why I didn't know about Elisa Lam? It's because I wasn't really on Tumblr like that. And I think that's probably why, because apparently she was huge on Tumblr.
She was. And like I didn't like follow her on Tumblr, but like I remember when it happened, like her Tumblr coming up. And then also if like you're really to like the online true crime community, you probably heard of it. But if you like mind your business. You probably haven't.
Like me.
I, however, do not. So I have heard of it.
Drag
me from minding my business. Interesting.
I was trying to compliment you, really. I was like, if you have a life, if you don't spend most of your life on the internet, then you maybe not know.
If you do other stuff, I guess.
Some of us already knew.
But yeah, so.
What about you?
The Zack Snyder cut. I'm actually excited to see it now.
Yeah,
because it's literally a whole new movie. I'm looking forward to that next.
It just looks like new content. I was like, okay,
yes,
well,
like okay, a new movie, fine. Since Black Widow's not coming out in theaters till 2052.
Oh god.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
What's your
FYC is History of Swear Words on Netflix. It's with Nicolas Cage, and they pretty much break down like the history, and I think etymology is the word I'm looking for, of like all a bunch of different like vulgar or swear words.
Is it a show or a comedy?
It's a bit like I don't know if you guys watched the show Adam Ruins Everything, where it's like it's very factual, but like they do it in like an upbeat kind of way.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I really liked it because like they kind of talk about like words like where it kind of started and when it became like seen as actually vulgar instead of like just part of language and like what was the one? Because the one that was most interesting to me was like when they talked about the B word, and I was like, because there was a white woman on there saying like, only women and gay people can say the B word, men can't. And I was like, that sounds very like the argument, like, because she's a comedian, so she's probably said the N word. And so that's the argument she got when people said, you can't say the N word. So she's turning it and trying to flip it to that. So that it sounded really like, you're biting that whole explanation.
How many episodes is it?
It's like six.
Is that like 30 minute episodes?
Yeah. Tight 30. Nicolas Cage is in it. You know he's entertaining. He's all outdoors.
Yeah,
so
he is.
I really do find the like history of language interesting and like etymology and stuff. Like
but
that,
that's what it is. It's really because like they have like legitimate like language historians and linguists on there, and like they really break down like that. So that's part really fun, and they have comedians who talk about it too. So like it's like a really good mix.
That's super cool.
Also, Sankara, set your DVRs. This is not my FYC, but set your DVRs for February 16th. The Dwayne Johnson biopic show is coming out.
Oh, you know I'm spinning this pilot, even though it's on like CBS.
It's on NBC.
Who else has a show coming out that like this is like there's a night where like two celebrities have shows coming out or something?
Is it?
I'll look for the commercial.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
the Dwayne Johnson one is getting
spun. I can't wait to hear y'all talk about that.
I can't wait.
Oh my gosh, weekly breakdowns. I cannot wait.
I know I won't be participating, but
that's fine. Because yeah, I saw this,
right?
Yes.
I know he's been doing like a lot of promo for it on his Instagram.
Yeah. So when I saw that, I said, "Oh, sign me all the way up."
The fact that Sankara can stalk Dwayne Johnson's Instagram but can't repost our content.
Talk so about it. Talk
like you're ratting yourself
it.
Out.
You rat.
I'm on. It's not like I'm posting The Rock's IG story, but I'm on his Instagram.
You might as well.
Every Sunday. Because I'm ready for that content. Because he does
rat.
What is that called? His cheat Sundays. And he does like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Those he does like these
okay, we need to wrap it up. Let's wrap it up.
All right, we'll do our Rock Dedication
really
Pod next
care.
Week.
Oh, yes.
I
when the pilot comes.
Wait, yo, Sank. We got to give him the press run for the show. We got to give him the press run for the show.
Yeah, I got to figure out a way because, like, I need him to come on this pod. I think I said this, like, 2 weeks
we
ago.
We said that.
Like,
that's your dream,
we said give him the press run, and now this show. So I need to get him on the press run.
I'm going
to
figure it out.
All right, let's go.